So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Dirt and Sprague.
Ole Miss has been so good in one possession games this year. They're down 5, 2nd and 8, inside the 25. Chambliss back to pass, throwing end zone, caught, touchdown, Daquan Wright. The tight end made the catch at the 4-yard line and waltzed in on a 24-yard touchdown play to give Ole Miss the lead back.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
2nd and goal from the 3, down 3, snap to Beck, looking center of the field. Nothing. Surveying has nothing. Now he's going to run for it at the 5, and Beck is into the end zone. Touchdown. 18 seconds to go, and Carson Beck trying to run the Hurricanes back home to Miami for a championship game.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan in the Fan Sports Network.
Red 85, fat hot.
Blue 85, what's that?
180.
Here we come. It's a man's game now.
Yeah. 180. What's that? Hot. Terrible, what's that? Somebody jump on
side. Here we go.
Here we go indeed. A football Friday, a loaded one at that, a game day Friday. Hello. How we doing?
What is happening?
Boy, January 9th.
January 9th, baby. Here we are. We made it. We are here.
Month's almost over.
It's just flying on by, dude.
My wife was like, dude, what happened to this week? I go, I don't know. Yeah. Tomorrow's Friday.
It just flew. Whenever I feel like it's that time of year when you have things to look forward to sports-wise, it just makes it go that much faster.
Agree.
Because there's always something the next day, and you get excited, and you're like, all right, tomorrow we get this. Tomorrow we get that. And it makes the week go super fast.
Yeah, yesterday was quite the doozy.
Quite the doozy. It was an hell of a game last night, man. It was hard to come down from that high. Like, when you get a crazy game that goes back and forth, and then it ends pretty late, and you're watching the post game, and you're like, I got to go to bed, man. I got to get up, do a show in the morning.
What was funny was I had an 8 o'clock practice with my basketball team, my girls' team.
And, wonderful timing.
It felt like the first half was an hour and 10 minutes. I'm like, this is perfect. I'm easily going to be watching the whole game before practice.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody timed it. Halftime had to have been at least 40 minutes.
Oh, you got it. I mean, the band's got to come out. Was there a I missed halftime. Was there a concert? I didn't see it live.
I saw a little bit of the Saban desk, and then I walked away, and I got some stuff done because I'm not watching halftime. I watched the game. I know what I think.
You know, marching bands out there? Come on, man.
And then the third quarter is like every other snap. It felt like, we'll be right back after these commercial messages. And I'm like, oh, my God,
come on,
dude.
Come on, man. Doesn't help for the speed of the game when Ole Miss attempts attempts 20 consecutive passes. They threw the ball 20 straight times in the second half.
Well, you know what's funny is him and Chambliss, Beck and Chambliss attempted the same amount of passes.
They ended up doing so.
And they were both 23 of 37.
How many plays did Miami run and how many plays did Ole Miss run? And that's where it becomes really funny, because if you look at the percentage breakdown, I remember at one point when they Ole Miss handed the ball off, and I think Herb Street was like, that ends a streak of 20 consecutive throws. And I had the thought on the drive previous of like, are you going to run the ball? Just not going to do it? Okay. I mean, hey, I'm not going to knock it because your running back's hurt, but this is interesting.
Did anybody else out there watching this game, it's 17-16, did anybody else say as they walked up a flight of stairs or walked around their room to room and say, yeah, Ole Miss is going to win because they've got a kicker?
That's definitely why this is going to happen.
I thought, hand to God, I'm like, they're going to win this game and the kicker should be the MVP.
What are the odds that a kicker from 50 yards plus hits the same upright twice?
With a different result?
And one time it bounces out and one time it bounces in. Like, you could pay that guy $1 million to recreate that, and I don't know if he could do that. One was 52, and I want to say the other one was 54.
Did that kid just solidify a fifth-round draft pick?
Without a doubt.
His 58-yarder was a 66-yard field goal if he wanted to.
Baltimore Ravens, come on down. You found your new kicker.
Remember they got Loop.
Remember how your season ended? Loop's out. This guy's in. We got ourselves a new Ole Miss kicker.
That kid is amazing.
Dude, that guy's got an absolute boot. He was a weapon for them. It's amazing to get inside like the 45-yard line and feel like, all right, we got three at least. We're good.
Well, there's a lot to get to with Oregon, Indiana,
yes,
despite us doing it all week.
Yeah.
You know what's really stupid that I thought about watching this kid just boot 52 yarders as if they're 25 yards away? Indiana has a kid who had a 60-yarder at Autzen, and Oregon has a kid who stretched at max at like 50.
Hey, we've made a 50-yarder this year, bitch. All right, look it up, damn it.
By the hairs of your chinny chin chin.
This is how much of a nerd I am. Can I also throw something at you? Advantage Oregon. You know who's out for the game?
Oh, is their kicker out?
Now, they have two. They have a long kicker.
And the long kicker's out?
The long kicker who made the 60-yarder at Autzen Stadium is not playing tonight.
I didn't know which one that was.
So I don't know if they're good for 50 anymore. It was a name that popped up and when I looked at the injury report, and I'm like, I don't know who any of these guys are. And then I saw somebody tweet, remember that 59-yarder they made right before halftime? That's that guy, and he's not playing anymore.
All right, well, advantage taken away.
Thank God, baby. We don't have running backs, but you can't make a 60-yard field goal tonight.
I heard Fowler, and by the way, let's just say this together. If we haven't established it for the record, let's make it for the record.
Mm.
Chris Fowler, big game guy. Not even a doubt.
He's a good big game guy.
You agree?
I'm with you 80%. I'm not the biggest Fowler guy in the world.
Really?
I like him. I don't dislike him.
What's the 20% that makes you disagree with me?
He's the replacement of GOATs, and he'll never live up to their standard in my mind. I know, it's not fair to him. It's Kalen DeBoer at Alabama. I'm holding him to an expectation that he can't live
now,
up to.
Now, Swag, help me with this. I know it was a different era and a different style of broadcasting, but like, did you hold this opinion of Al Michaels when he replaced Howard Cosell? They're so different.
They're very different.
So different.
They're very different. Hey, look, it's not fair. I'm not saying I'm in the right here. I'm just telling you how I feel in my plums.
So your ranking would be... Of big game guys. You hear the voice and you go, this is a big game.
Are we talking all time for college football?
For college football, there's Keith Jackson for me and then everybody else.
And then there's a Canyon and then there's Brent Musburger. You were looking live.
Really?
Yeah. And then there's a gap and then Chris Fowler.
I'm going to tell you this right now.
You're a Fowler
Fowler's
guy. I know.
Great.
I
got no issue. Fowler's on a game. He's prepared. But
I love Keith Jackson.
He's great.
He's going to be
great.
Yeah. Fowler is in the same category.
Okay.
It's Fowler, it's Keith Jackson, Musburger, you are looking live.
You are looking live.
They're all
See, it's
so
funny,
different.
I associate Musburger more with the NFL.
Yeah, that's fine.
Or the NBA than I do.
I don't blame it. That's an age thing.
College football, but...
That's your age,
yeah.
But yeah, that's the difference in our ages right there is like the NBA with Musburger, whereas...
Well, and he called the national championship every year in college football of my, you know,
most of our
later
lives.
Childhood, because it was Keith Jackson at first, and then Musburger took over, and he always called the national championship game. And so that was always my go-to.
I hear him, and he has a little bit of the Gus thing, where he gets up a little bit on some plays.
Gets a little excited.
But he reigns it into the perfect amount where I hear him and I'm like, dude, this is a big game.
This is a big Fowler's on the game.
You just there's only so many of those guys that when they're on the broadcast, you're
without
like,
without a doubt, I agree with you there.
This is a big game.
You know it. You know something matters.
Yes,
it's a primetime game every Saturday right. night, or he calls the national championship every year.
Well, he said at some point, I think either after the game or it was like that final Miami drive during a timeout. He just straight up was like, this is going to go down as maybe the best playoff game ever. And I don't know if he, I don't, maybe he didn't say it exactly that way, but he kind of was like saying it in sort of, you know, this will be historic.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of the best playoff games. You can put the 4-team with the 12-team. I don't really care. Like,
I mean, those all have to count, right? The semifinal games yeah. back in the day were playoff. This was a semifinal
like
game.
Like Bama-Clemson, the
Texas
touchdown.
USC wasn't in the
no,
playoff.
It's BCS.
That
no,
was a BCS.
That was a BCS. Yeah. So you yeah. could say championship games, that's, you know, going to take the cake. Probably
that's a different
the best
category.
One. Different, or Miami-Ohio State back in the day with the
right.
pick in the end zone.
Right.
The only ones that I would put in, so I think the numbers on this, it's the first time we've ever had four lead changes in the fourth quarter.
I mean, it was
of a,
remarkable.
Of a playoff
that was
game.
A great football game.
So in that regard, it's something we've never seen before. Is it better than the, you know, the Georgia comeback against Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl in the semifinals with Baker? Like, that was an all-time
is it
classic.
Well, yeah, was
the
that
Clemson Bama?
What was that comeback? Because I didn't feel like in the moment
I'll
they
go back and find
came
it.
Back from like a. It wasn't Bama Georgia comeback.
No, I mean, it wasn't. In,
when Jalen got benched.
I know
came
Oklahoma
in.
Had a sizable lead, but I can't remember exactly what it was. Let me go find what
that
the score
was. That
was
a great football game at the Rose Bowl.
And then you mentioned the only game that had a later go-ahead game-winning touchdown was the Clemson-Alabama National Championship game. The Clemson beat them. They scored with 1 second left on the clock
We've
to
had
win
two
the
walk-offs.
Game.
We've had the Bama-Georgia walk-off. That was literally a walk-off. And then, yeah, Clemson-Bama was essential. I mean, it's 1 second, okay, but I look at it as a walk-off.
Let's see. 54-48 in two overtimes was Georgia-Oklahoma. It was, hold on, let me pull up my play-by-play here. They had a 31-14 lead late
that's
in the
second quarter. Yeah, that's a pretty good lead.
Late in the second quarter, Georgia kicked a field goal at the end of the half to go into the locker room down 31-17.
So 14-point lead.
And they outscored them 28-14 in the second half and then beat them in two overtimes.
Yeah.
So those are the only other ones. And maybe there's another one that we're missing that's not popping off the top of our head. But that was an all-timer. And that was the unique thought that I had last night of – and there's another thing in the news off the field about a player who was leaving and now coming back, and we'll talk about that today. The sport has never been uglier off the field.
While being the best
while
ever
while being
on it.
Better on yeah, the field.
I agree.
And unfortunately, the ugliness off the field leads to some of the beauty on the field because it's balanced everything out. Like, we were a play or two away from Ole Miss going to a national championship game, going into a playoff in which nobody gave them a chance to basically win one game, let alone two, without their head coach and multiple assistants not returning for the second game.
I can't pretend to know the depth of Ole Miss in terms of who's going to be back and who's leaving, and then the portal stuff's always weird. But
they
like
got the Chambliss decision is the biggest
if
one.
If Chambliss
looming.
Gets that decision and it goes his way, good luck. He was so good.
He was so good. And Miami also dropped four interceptions in that game.
I do.
They couldn't catch the ball. Like, Chambliss was unbelievable. Ole Miss doesn't stand a chance
the
without him.
The huddled, batted but ball like, where they just are all just tipping it around and then it drops. I'm like, how does nobody catch that?
How? He threw two, like, directly into the hands of DBs on some of those quick RPO pulls and throws that they just had stone hands.
I'm saying this with no evidence other than swagger and confidence.
Yes.
If you put you and I in pads for the first time in 20-plus years.
I'm making that play, baby.
I'm not dropping that football.
I'm making that play.
They're literally tipping it, and it's just falling in their hands.
Yes.
There's no speed.
No.
No velocity. No
standard.
Weird angle. It's literally just being tipped, and none of them could catch it.
It was like three Miami DBs surrounding the football, playing hacky sack with it, and
what are you
all
doing?
Of them dropped it to the ground. How is that possible?
I don't know.
So that for as good as he was, he got away with a couple last night, but sometimes you need to be lucky, right? Those are the breaks of football.
Yeah.
I've actually seen people make the argument with him, despite what the NCAA decision ends up being, strike while the iron's hot. Go now. Your name is hot. It's sexy. Everybody's talking about you. I don't know what his draft evaluation would be.
He hasn't been mentioned amongst the top, and his size is not amazing.
He's not the biggest guy in the world.
But he's quick. He's shifty.
Yeah.
His arm strength isn't a problem.
Not a weakness.
Some accuracy stuff yesterday, but for the most part, it's been pretty damn good. The fact that he even got them to the 30.
Yes.
in the amount of time that he did.
From one shot into the end zone.
I mean, that I thought that was amazing.
Yes. He just threw the Hail Mary a little too long. He did the old adrenaline pumping.
Yeah,
I mean, if you throw a pick, you throw a pick. You got to give him a better chance to catch the ball than that.
I also love this morning ESPN pass interference.
You going to call that there?
I'm like, I'm glad they didn't.
No. They got a little flag happy in the fourth quarter. They started to lose control of the game a little bit. And also, anybody who watched Big Ten football all year knew, because I was a Big Ten crew last night.
Yeah.
Big Ten officials, for whatever reason, don't call holding. And there were, I want to say, a dozen misholding calls in that on each side. It didn't favor either person. Because Miami's left tackle held, I want to say, every time they threw the ball and they didn't call it. And Bain and the other edge rusher from Miami didn't have any impact, largely because they were getting bear hugged at the snap.
Do we know what crew is tonight?
I do not know. I'll see what I can find.
Big 12, ACC, SEC.
I'm assuming they usually try and do non-conference. So it won't be a Big Ten crew, but I'll see what I can find.
Okay. Well, we got a load show today. Bill Orem's going to join us live from Atlanta. Talking about looking live, we'll go to the Peach Bowl today with Bill Orem, boots on the ground. We have audio from Dan Lanning and Cignetti from yesterday's Peach Bowl press conference. Got some bad news in the injury category for Oregon again.
Can you play running back tonight? You want to get some carries? Get you on a bird to Atlanta?
Fifth and sixth grade Sprague, you'd want him.
Yeah,
he was really fast.
You got some quickness. You got some burst.
39-year-old Sprague, not fast, not shifty.
Can you give me 2.2 yards per carry? 2.2, a little fall forward. Fall forward, we might be able to do something.
I think I would be amazed how not strong I am once one of those dudes hits me. So we'll talk a lot of Oregon, Indiana as well. Let's keep it going on the Miami-Ole Miss game. That was a great game last night. Miami is in the national championship game. We'll get that going next on The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here on a football Friday, a Duck Game Day Friday. We got the Peach Bowl today. Dirt will be on the pregame coverage, as he always is.
Yeah, 6.5 hours of radio today. If you hate me, I apologize ahead of time.
Thank you for being a team player and coming in and doing the show with me.
This is what I do, baby. By the way, answering two questions, SEC crew for tonight.
Oh, okay.
Does not leave me feeling good because I don't feel like they have a great reputation from officiating, but who does? And one listener pointing out the Indiana boot, the power leg Indiana kicker, not out. He's doubtful. For the love of God, somebody go slam a sledgehammer into that guy's knee. Get him out of the game.
I want to get to that. So that was the highlight as heard on ESPN Radio, the game-winning touchdown run by Carson Beck, the go-ahead touchdown run. 4 lead changes in the fourth quarter, just an electric fourth quarter.
Low-scoring, ugly defensive game in which nobody can score, and then it was touchdown, 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 touchdown.
The former head coach of Ole Miss loves to make everything about himself, and he did so much as leave that team and take a new job. And that team rallied, they came together. And they're, you know, a drive away or a touchdown instead of a field goal away from maybe being in the national championship. And so they had a remarkable run there. I also want to acknowledge Lane Kiffin said this about Miami getting Carson Beck for $4.3 million.
It's crazy, Coach, that you bring up the NFL structure with college now because they're in the contract. They're making money. They're making millions of dollars. I think down in Miami, what's Carson Beck?
4.3 million.
I think my biggest year was 6. He's a college kid. So, like, you bring up the comparison of what they're doing. They're really getting NFL money.
Miami gave him $4.3 million?
That's what the evaluation says. Hey,
did they watch this game against us?
You don't have to be great, Coach.
Well, we did watch the game against you, except you left that team, and now you're at LSU. And so, look, I'll say this about Lane Kiffin.
You just tried to give a midget quarterback $6 million. I don't know if you should be throwing rocks in that glass house.
Did the collective college football world say, this isn't happening, Lane, DeMond, go back? It felt like that yesterday is what I took away from it. But we'll get to that today.
Yeah.
We can make fun of Lane Kiffin for saying that. I'm also not going to act like when I heard Beck was going to Miami, I'm like, oh, well, they're going to go from Cam Ward to Carson Beck, huh?
Yeah, you knew it was going to be a downgrade. The only question about their season was, could they find a way to improve their defense? And boy, oh boy, did they.
And, you know, I think he's kind of like every other quarterback that was in this Final Four. Mendoza may be the exception to everybody, but I don't know. But shaky start, settles in, really good, really good. And fourth quarter, fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not really rooting for Carson Beck, but kid has gone through a lot. I didn't know it was his 7th season, by the way.
I didn't realize he'd been in college that long either.
That's crazy.
I mean, and then I remembered that we talked about him as a top draft prospect like 3 years ago, and I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that does kind of make sense. Because he waited his turn and then started multiple years at Georgia and then now at Miami. 7 years of college, baby, just like me.
Yeah. Gets the go-ahead touchdown yesterday, and he made some damn good throws on that final drive.
He did. He came up big when they needed him. I thought he was pretty shaky for a chunk of the game early. The blown coverage really settled him in when he rolled out and they had that walk-in touchdown. When you hand a quarterback a throw like that and you kind of get his mojo going a little bit, that was a tough break for Ole Miss's defense because they just lost track of a wide receiver. You can't do that in a big moment like that. Maybe it ended up costing him the game. He had moments where he was tight. He had moments where he wasn't keeping his head downfield when he was scrambling around. But one of the things that Carson Beck has done now in this postseason, we talked about it all week leading up to the game. We haven't talked a ton about that game, but primarily yesterday, all of a sudden Carson Beck is using his legs. And how did they end up scoring the game-winning touchdown? It was Carson Beck scrambling around. Ole Miss is in man-to-man coverage. Everybody clears to one side of the field, and there's nobody within a half mile of Carson Beck as he walks in for the easiest touchdown he'll ever score. He had multiple runs throughout the course of the game, whether it was a 3rd and 6, and he picks up 5 to set up a 4th and short, and then they convert. His legs have all of a sudden become a weapon, and I think it's really difficult to game plan against that because you're not spying him. He's not athletic enough in order to do that. And so all it takes is losing track of him one time, and he's going to make you pay, and he did that again last night.
Here's Mario Laura Rutledge in the post game on Carson Beck's performance.
That's a perfect example of a guy who just, he feels supported. He's hungry. He's driven. He's a great human being. And all he wants to do is want to see his teammates have success. And that's what we witnessed tonight. And Carson Beck, I can't say enough great things about him. Love the guy. Absolutely awesome.
It's an odd game because it ended up being a great one, an exciting one, a back and forth battle. It's an odd game because my entire feelings in the first half are Ole Miss should be down 31-0 is how it looked.
They're going to get run out of the building was the vibe the first 7 minutes of the game.
Then the random pop run for 70 right. yards, and I'm like, where did that come from?
All right, I guess they can run the ball now.
And then I look at it and I'm like, Miami is that to me, you know what it felt like? It felt like had Tech done that with Oregon, I would have felt the same way. I'm like, this team's dominating that team. They can't do anything.
But Miami can't get out of their own way, and they can't score touchdowns. This game should be over at halftime.
It should have been.
Yeah.
And that's the weird thing about this team. I was telling Swag, like, I don't know who's going to win against Oregon, Indiana. We'll talk a lot about that game today. We'll make picks. I don't think Dirt should make a pick. I think Swag can make a pick.
I'm doing the pregame. That's true. I have to sit out. I'm like the Kirk Herbstreit of the show.
Sure, and then you give a take right after doing it as if we didn't know where you were leaning. I don't know who you're going to pick today based on what you're wearing.
It could come either way. I don't know. People are guessing.
But what I would say is this. I leaned into Swag before the show, and I go, I feel like Miami's somehow going to win the national championship.
They just keep finding ways to win games. There's no pictures on the scorecard this time of year. We could nitpick them for playing with their food, for being stupid. Like, Miami has done that all year, and there was a moment in the fourth quarter where it was eerily, for anybody who remembered the last time they lost a game, it was SMU. The reason they lost the SMU game was because they took two guns out of their holsters and just kept repeatedly shooting themselves in the foot over and over again.
They did this last night, though.
And that's exactly what the fourth quarter was, where it's penalty here, penalty there.
Dropped interceptions.
The right guard jumped off sides like 17 plays in a row. And it's, what are you doing, dude?
Right.
Just wait for the snap. But they found a way to win. And so this isn't the point, and this is kind of the argument I made out of the Texas Tech game. Like, this isn't nitpick season anymore. Your resume doesn't matter.
100%.
I don't care how you win. I don't care how ugly it is.
Yep.
I don't care how many breaks you need. As long as you win, that's all that matters. Because guess what? Now Miami needs one more win to win a national championship.
Here was Mario in the postgame on just when it gets tough for Miami, he thinks that they're actually better.
How they came into the program and how they've continued to develop and evolve. And so it almost seems like the tougher it gets, the better we play. And it's a testament to them, to their resilience and their will.
I think my favorite was the end when they're showing all of these images of random fans in the stands. There was a Miami guy, and he was covering his head, and he just was like, you could just feel him living and dying with what the result that game was going to be.
It's been a long time, man.
And they might be better served in tough, close games because they've been resilient. They've come out the other end of it. But also, I would tell you, I can't imagine what is that like for a diehard fan who has to say, cool, we have to make everything a field goal game. I can't wait. I definitely want to live through that.
Let's make this as hard as humanly possible on ourselves in order to win the biggest game we've played in 25 years.
I want to ask you two questions. Were both of you guys expecting Miami to capitalize on that last drive and end up going ahead to win the game? And the second question is how you're reevaluating Miami's chances against either Indiana or Oregon. We'll talk about that on the other side. So I asked you before the break, Dirt, were you expecting Miami to get the go-ahead touchdown?
I don't know if I expected touchdown, but I did expect them to get into scoring position to send the game at least to overtime. Like, when they had the ball, there wasn't a lot of faith that Ole Miss's defense was going to get a stop there. Miami, it felt like, moved the ball every time they touched it last night.
Yeah.
And as long as Miami, again, didn't do something really stupid and get in their own way, Beck had been pretty safe with the football. The pick wasn't his fault. It was deflected at the line of scrimmage. It just, you know, those happen from time to time. And I'm not putting that on him. He didn't put the ball in harm's way a ton. Sans one throwaway that he damn near gave the ball to an Ole Miss defensive back.
Went right through the hands.
Instead of, like, just throwing the ball into the stands. Not quite sure what we were doing there. But I did have, their kicker's pretty solid, and he's got a good boot. And so I expected them at least get into scoring range and send the game to overtime.
Yeah, I'm not going to give anything on that interception to Beck because Chambliss, as you mentioned earlier, earlier, escaped like four picks in that game. And
that's one of those you look at the box where afterwards you say, oh, Beck threw a pick and Chambliss didn't. Yeah. And if you say that, you didn't want, like, if you watch the game, Chambliss could have had four and Beck threw one that was tipped at the line of scrimmage.
It's so funny to just look at the box and you're going through this and you're like, okay, 3-0 first quarter. Okay. Exactly what I expected. Slugfest, Miami's defense. 14-13 second quarter. Whoa. Huh, huh. Oh, 3-0 Ole Miss third quarter. Now it's back to being a 14-11 fourth quarter. Just an up and down crazy ass game. The other thing I asked you before the break was how you're reevaluating. If your team is to be successful today and get out of the Peach Bowl with a dub over Indiana,
yes.
I know where you're going to be at. I know where 98% of our listeners are going to be at. But I am also asking you, take your hat off for a second, where you're at on Miami now. They're in the national championship game. We know all of what we know about them. Just how you reconsider, because I think for maybe a decent chunk of this week or maybe even the week prior, once we found the semis, the real narrative, maybe not from our show, but the narrative of the playoff was the championship game is Oregon-Indiana. And now here's Miami. They've punched their ticket. They've beaten Ole Miss. They're in the title game.
I haven't felt that way, that this is the championship game tonight. I certainly understand. By the way, the look-ahead lines, I saw these last night. If Indiana wins, they'd be a 5-point favorite over Miami.
I'll take that all day.
And if Oregon wins, I think it was 2 to 2.5. Oregon would be favored over Miami. So it's slight less than a field goal, essentially a pick-em at that point. Mm-hmm. I think that if we've learned anything in this college football playoff is that you don't know what to expect. And so the idea that Oregon, Indiana, and the winner is going to go on to win the national championship, I certainly would feel better about that from a national standpoint about Indiana, because they're not a team that hurts themselves and does dumb things. And when you put that against a team who has a propensity at times to do something stupid, I understand why Indiana would be the overall favorite. My opinion didn't change at all on Miami last night. They're more than able to win a national championship. They're as good, if not better, at the line of scrimmage than any team remaining in the college football playoff. They have great skill position players. They have a legitimate shot to do this. And so that was kind of the game I was expecting. I figured Miami was going to pull away late, so they didn't quite win the way that in as dominant a fashion as I thought that they were going into that game. But that was who Miami's been all year. They're really good defensively. They're really good at the line of scrimmage. Give them a ton of credit for overcoming all the injuries that piled up in the secondary. I want to say at one point in the second half, they were down their top three corners. By the way, Lucas got ejected for a targeting, so he'll be out the first half. That was a second-half ejection. He'll be out the first half of the national championship game, which is incredibly dumb. I don't know what targeting is anymore.
Can we just carry that to the regular season?
It's really stupid.
Year.
It's too big of a game.
Why are we doing this?
I agree 100% with you. Unless it's my team playing, then for the love of God, let's ban him for life and not let him play. But like, to me, Miami is more than able to win a title, in my opinion. Didn't change at all last night with that game.
Was the committee validated last night, or they've already been validated?
They've been sitting with their feet up, smoking cigars for weeks now.
Because you're right, the playoff has been wild, and it's interesting where we're at right now, where we have a 5-1, and then last night we had the 10-6, and now we have a 10 in the title game. I mean, we don't know this because we'll never be able to see it play out. I just don't know if Notre Dame's getting all the way to the title game.
I think they could have, and I think that's the beauty of the sport. I think Notre Dame was playing legitimately as good as anybody late in the year. I'm not arguing they deserve to be in. Miami deserved to be in over them, but I think that's the great part about college football right now.
My only thing with them was Carr. Love, obviously amazing, and doing what he did this year, and their defense was stellar. Maybe to your point, like, that's how I view this, is we were talking a little bit yesterday about great teams that have won titles. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the context exactly, but it was something to the effect of like it was Indiana. We were talking about Indiana. If Indiana had Georgia on their chest,
yes,
with all of their analytics and their record, like how we'd feel about, or how we talk about the game at least. And I think what's crazy about what they're doing, and we'll get to that game coming up here at the top of the hour, is just that one, that we've had an undefeated team go this long. And there's never been more evenly split talent in the sport. And I think because of that, you no longer have to sit in the idea of, well, my team's not perfect, I can't win the national championship, right?
Like, yes.
Whatever you feel now, think about how you thought or felt about your team specifically going into the week one non-conference game and what we talked about with them and what are the expectations and what's the ceiling. And I think because of the replacements and all the areas they had new guys, most of us just had it like 10-2, 11-1, and this is the year before the year. And I'm like, I certainly held that opinion. Mm-hmm. I think you guys did. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but it's just such a fun era of the sport where that no longer applies.
You don't have to be perfect.
No, you can be far from perfect.
Yes, Miami is far from perfect.
100% right. So we can be far from perfect and still go into year and say, I think my team can do it, and I can't sit there and go, well, you're an idiot anymore, because we're watching all of this play out in real time of, man, look what the portal does to this sport.
It's been great on the field, and I'll go back to Miami in the start of their playoff run. They won their first game on the road against Texas A&M. What did Texas A&M have at the end of the game with a chance to – they had the ball inside the 10-yard line with a chance to tie it and maybe win the game. Like, they were that close to losing their first playoff game, and now here they are.
And he just made a bad throw.
He made a bad throw in the end zone, and damn it, there goes your chance, and it went out the window. But here Miami is now in a national championship game. If they score a touchdown there, do they go for two? Do they win the game? Miami could have been one and done and not even won a playoff game this year. That's exactly where you want your sport to be. And so, to your point, that's part of the argument that I've been making this week with Oregon's running back situation, and it didn't get better yesterday, so it's going to be a harder argument to make, but we'll get to that. But essentially that, like, this, nobody's perfect. Maybe Indiana ends up being that team. Maybe Indiana dominates tonight. They blow out Miami. You don't need to blow them out to be perfect. But if they go undefeated and win the title, we can look back and say, okay, that was the team that had the fewest flaws, and that's why they went on to win the national championship. Mm-hmm. But I think every team has a bit of a weakness left. Like, Miami, for me, there's just not a lot of fear with them with their vertical passing game. I think a lot
even
of
with Tony?
I think Tony's an unbelievable
Marion
weapon.
Was really good for them last night.
I'm not
night.
Saying their weapons aren't good. It's more of a Carson Beck thing. I thought he threw some ducks. He had some short arm throws.
You're still that with Carson Beck.
I'm 100% there with Beck.
Because if you look at if you looked at just the four, I know Chambliss is now out, but like mm-hmm. Chambliss, Beck, Moore, Mendoza.
Mm-hmm.
I would be fascinated to see where America's at on ranking the four.
Yeah, maybe my guy's in last place. I would take my guy over Carson Beck, but I'm obviously in a bubble here, sniffing my own farts a little bit. When I look at Carson Beck last night, how long was the broken play touchdown? About 60 yards, somewhere
something
in that range,
like
50,
that,
60
yeah.
yards somewhere. And then one of the final touchdowns they threw was a play that they killed Ole Miss on all night. It was a tunnel screen, and it was a 30-yard touch. Like, that's 90 yards on two throws,
that
one of them a blown coverage, and one of them's Malachi Toney running through everybody. I'm very scared of Miami's weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not scared of the idea of Carson Beck sitting in the pocket and picking me apart.
So even with that final drive,
mm-hmm.
and we're getting ahead of ourselves because Oregon still has to play Indiana.
Well,
but
this rings true whether it's Indiana or Oregon.
Right.
Running the game tonight.
But with what you saw, like, it wasn't the Tony play, certainly was more blocking / Tony than it was Carson Beck.
Mm-hmm.
But he threw some dimes in big, big spots last
Absolutely
night.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm sitting on my couch going, all the things I've thought about Carson Beck, I'm rethinking it. And I'm like, yeah, man, like, I cannot like Carson Beck as a draft prospect. But at this point, with the four quarterbacks, I might trust him as much as I trust any other quarterback in this situation.
What I'm giving him credit for mainly is using his legs and not putting the ball in harm's way consistently, because that's when Carson Beck goes bad, when he starts making funky decisions and throwing interceptions. And again, the interception last night was not on him.
When he missed the early Tony, what would have been a touchdown in the middle, I went, oh, there he is. And then he eventually settled down and started playing really well.
I'm not saying he was terrible by all means last night. I'm just saying I also think the other component of it is, because we're now talking about Miami playing in a national title game, it'll either be against Indiana or Oregon. I think both Indiana and Oregon are significantly better defensively than Ole Miss is. And that's just, maybe that's a wrong opinion.
No,
but
I
going
think statistically
in,
it's the right.
I think their defensive lines are better. I don't think either team will get pushed around in the run game the way that Ole Miss got pushed around in the run game. Miami, I thought one of their biggest flaws of the game last night was something I've criticized Will Stein for from time to time. They had a play on one of their drives where they ran the ball with Fletcher, and they rugby scrummed it for like a 20-yard gain.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And
well, he did a couple times.
A couple times, but there was one that just like, oh my God, he's still going. And the very next play on a 1st and 10, what did Shannon Dawson call? A flea flicker.
Mm-hmm.
And Carson Beck hands it off. They give it back to him. He almost gets sacked, throws it away. You get an intentional grounding. It completely killed the drive. They ran the ball whenever they wanted to, essentially, in that game.
22 carries, 133 yards with a 6-yard average for Mark Fletcher.
He's a beast.
Yep.
I don't know if you'll be able to do that against Indiana's front or Oregon's front. That'll be the ultimate question for Miami in that game. Mm. Do you need a little bit more from Beck? But I think he's good. He's not turning the football over. Sands the one tipped at the line of scrimmage. But there's not a lot that I fear about downfield vertical passing with them.
Miami punches the ticket to the national championship game, and now they await. They get to go home and play the title game, and now they wait which team team they're going to play after tonight with the Peach Bowl with Oregon in Indiana. We'll talk about that one coming up at the top of the hour. So Miami moves on. Mario is in the national championship game, and we will preview and discuss Oregon, Indiana, which is today, and you can catch it here on The Fan. Talk about a snip snap. He's back.
He's back.
We deleting tweets. Is he still a Benedict?
This is uncomfortable.
This is a very weird situation. We've never seen it like this ever. So let's talk about that, and then we'll get to Oregon, Indiana coming up next on The Fan.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oregon, Indiana, today, a Friday night Peach Bowl. The sphincter tight?
Oh, it's tight. Yeah, it's tight. We're a little bit of a basket case of emotions over here.
Yeah, right? I think you're going to be all fours tonight.
It's going to be a long day. Yeah. Long ways to go until kickoff.
So we got some news about the Demond Williams situation. It seemed like he was destined to be an LSU quarterback. And then I saw yesterday, right after the show, I checked ESPN, and there was the top story was Demond Williams' agent drops him. And
he did, yeah.
Oh, so the agent's not even the dirty one. He's dirtier than his dirty agent.
Well, did you know the fun little fact about that is, do you know who has the same agent?
His coach.
Jed Fish and Demond Williams. Well, no longer, because he fired him, but at the time, they had the same agent.
So clearly somebody got in Demond's ear and said, dude, you need to leave. You can make more money.
Why are you not sniffing around?
Well, then legalities of the contract. We question, can you make him do this? Can you make him do that? Clearly, he found out because he hired an attorney that he was going to owe Washington money.
Yeah.
And so yesterday, he puts out another Instagram post. After careful consideration for what's best in my future, I'm coming back to UW.
Yeah, buddy.
And then Jed Fish and the AD Pat Chun had to release a statement. I didn't read Pat's, but I read Jed Fish's. And Jed Fish basically was like, we talked a lot, and we're going to work to repair the community with the Huskies and Devon Williams. And then all those Husky accounts had to have run to their account. Leet, 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 leet. I didn't listen to Softy, but I'm sure Softy. Wow, yeah, now what about Benedict Arnold? He was given another chance. He wouldn't have been a Benedict Arnold. And now we're going to sit in a world next year where he's going to start at quarterback because they don't have a choice.
Look, none of this could be any better for me. My team's playing in a semifinal tonight. They win. They punch your ticket to a national championship. One of the last three remaining teams in college football, and this is going on up north. The first person I would ask of have they commented again was Jed Fish's wife, because did we see Jed Fish's wife jump on Instagram and take a dump all over Damon Williams?
She's the one that highlighted that he announced it during the funeral. Or the
memorial service for the soccer player. Like, yeah, you know, the coach's wife trashing you on Instagram, and then 24 hours later, you're deciding to come back. Basically, it sounds like Damon Williams got bad advice. In the contract, there was some language that they thought maybe could be enforceable, that another school was going to have to pay to get Damon Williams. And once other schools realized that, they said, wait a minute, you want us to give you $5 million in NIL and we got to pay a couple of million to buy you out from Washington? You're 5'3", you're not worth it. And all of a sudden, Damon Williams was left standing in a room like Will Smith in The Fresh Prince with nobody else around him. He had no other options because teams weren't going to pay that for him unless, I mean, you go some random JUCO, I find somewhere to go, I don't know. But he had no options, and this was basically it. So he called Washington. The Huskies said, hey, we don't have a quarterback for next year. Bo Pribula came on a visit, but we'll take you back because we're desperate, and this is going to be one of the most uncomfortable things we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, and look, I think everybody in that world is familiar with the weird grossness of it, and eventually this won't be a big deal in the locker room. It's a weird situation.
Yes.
There's no way around it, and I also think you just eventually we're going to become the English Premier League in college football where teams will pay a transfer fee to universities to buy out these NIL contracts. I know Lanning and Cignetti were asked a lot about the portal yesterday. Obviously, neither one of them really wanted to talk about it, but Lanning, I didn't pull the audio, but Lanning said as much of like, yeah, you'd hope contracts would be enforceable.
Yeah.
And they'd be honored. But here we are, and this situation could not be any worse, and I don't know, man.
Has there ever been a fan base that just universally hates their quarterback? Because every single one of them just completely trashed the kid, and I don't blame them. I would have done the same thing at a
Minnesota Vikings.
There's probably a lot of that there. No doubt about it. Niner can get you sometimes. I just like the first time he makes a bad play, the first time they lose a game, how are you going to react to that? They were very supportive of him and defended him throughout the course of the season, and he had a good year sans the games against the best teams that they played. I don't know how this ends up well for you.
By the way, let me just say this finally. We'll go to the second hour. Who are you trying to fool with that post?
Careful consideration now.
Yeah, after finding out my ass was going to owe $2.5 million to Washington, I've decided not to lose it.
Nobody would represent me.
And my agents dropped me, and I'm being absolutely slandered all throughout the country. I've decided it's for the best in my own career to come back and be the quarterback.
Let me ask you this. I'm putting you in Jed Fish's shoes. You're the head coach at Washington. Damon Williams does this to you.
Uh-huh.
He calls you and says, I screwed up.
Yep.
Sorry. Yep. Can I please come back? What do you say?
Well, I don't think this is a big deal to Jed Fish because he's been dabbling in gross his entire life.
It's not even necessarily the nastiness of it. It's more about what are the dynamics inside your locker room.
Well, you have to take him back because as much as you might have to have him pay you to leave, he probably would countersue you if you didn't take him back.
Yeah.
There's probably language in that contract goes both ways.
Yeah, there very well could be.
You owe me money, bud. You owe me money. No,
pay
no
me
you pay
money.
Me.
No, you pay me.
Damon Williams, we'll see him next year back at Washington.
Have fun with that. Still can't see over the line of scrimmage.
There's enough time between now and
It all seems real normal up there. Dan Lanning going through this?
No.
Okay. Mario gone through this with any
Had
of the quarterbacks?
Had this happen in the spring, I think it's a ginormous deal.
I'm not saying there's not enough time for him to be a quarterback in play. I just, if you're operating like this, that tells me you have maybe not the right people for your program.
Yeah, it's just the weird dynamic of the fan base and how you feel about him. And look, bygones are bygones, right? If he comes out and plays great and you go to the college football playoff next year, winning solves every issue that you could possibly have, sure. And they'll be completely behind him. It's just more of the point of if that doesn't happen and you struggle, it could get ugly.
All right, loaded second hour. Let's jump into it. Oregon, Indiana, it is game day. Let's talk about the Peach Bowl. Hour 2, during Sprague 105.1, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.